Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We are continuing to work our way through the final two verses of 1 John chapter 4. Which, as you remember, are the final two verses, on the third section on the subject of love. John, the Apostle of Love, talks about love for several verses in chapter 2, even a few more verses in chapter 3, and then the longest section in chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And we are now looking at the final two verses, verses 20 and 21, and we find that this is a very sobering text. It says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Wow. John is not mincing any words. John is not beating around the bush. John is not trying to be tactful. John is being blunt and plain, but truthful. He's telling us what we need to know. He is helping some people who are deceived into realizing that though they think they are a Christian, they have never truly been born again. And that's why this becomes such a very important text. So we'll continue looking at it on this Thursday, November 29. We're so thankful that you were able to join us, and we are very grateful for those whose financial gifts make it possible. Well, the text begins, as you remember, by identifying a Christian profession, if someone says, "I love God." But it follows it up with a sober reality, for there are some people who say, "I love God," but they hate their brother. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. Hating your brother reveals your true heart condition. And therefore, to say that you love God, but to hate your brother, those that you claim to be your brother, those who are fellow believers in the body of Christ as you claim to be one, and yet you don't love that person with an agape love, an active love, a helping love, a volitional love, but rather your actions toward your professed brothers, because of course if you are not a true Christian, they're not truly your brothers either. But your action toward your professed brothers is more characterized by hurtful actions than beneficial ones. Love is the determination to provide help and benefit for the one that you love. But there are some people whose slanderous tongues and spiteful actions are harmful, not helpful, and that characterizes their relationship with other people in the body of Christ, and that reveals their true heart condition. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. He is a liar. That's plain, but that's what needs to be said. I don't need to tell you that the world delights to find examples of Christian hypocrisy. Please don't help them. Please don't claim to be a Christian if your heart condition is not one of love toward others? That's a telltale sign. That's an important manifestation of the true condition of your heart. And that is followed by a searching explanation. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? There's a necessary connection, according to the words of the Apostle John, and remember these are, in fact, the words of God. There's a necessary connection between words and deeds. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? How can he love God? A question in my translation. Looking at the New American Standard translation, I see this phrase is translated as a statement. He cannot love God, is what it says. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, he cannot love God whom he has not seen. The Greek language, the Greek grammar, will allow either a question or a statement. I rather prefer the translation that turns it into a statement. It's talking about a fundamental contradiction. He who says, I love God and hates his brother, the brother whom he has seen, the brother whom he knows, the brother whom he is close to, he cannot love God, the invisible God whom he has not seen. That's a fundamental contradiction. You say, well, it doesn't seem so to me. I don't see any contradiction here. I don't understand that this is a necessary contradiction. There are a lot of people who would like to reformulate this as a preference, as something that would be desirable. If you are a Christian, it is desirable that you love others. You ought to. We understand that. But to say that if you don't, that is proof that you are not a true Christian. To say that if you don't manifest love toward others, then you really don't love God at all, that's going too far for some people. That's going way too far for some people. But dear friends, I'm only reading it to you out of the Bible. Isn't it a shame that we have gotten so far from the Bible in churches, in Christian homes, in Christian circles? We've gotten so far away from the Bible that when we hear the Bible, sometimes we don't even recognize it as the Bible, that we can hear statements right out of the Bible, and to us they sound foreign to the Christian religion because we have had such a weak and misrepresented concept of Christianity for so long that we don't recognize reality when it's set in front of us. Doesn't that tell us something? Doesn't that tell us something's wrong? Doesn't that tell us that there's a need to get back to the Bible, back to the Scriptures? There are far too many Christians who base their Christianity upon what they have heard someone else say rather than upon what God has said in His Word. That's dangerous. That can be fatal. And here's an example of a time when it is fatal. Fatal. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. It's a fundamental contradiction declared to be so by the Apostle John. Are you going to argue with him? And this is an enlightening comparison between God and man. If he does not love his brother whom he has seen, he cannot love God whom he has not seen. The comparison is a contrast between an invisible God and visible people. And what's the point of the contrast? It seems a little bit puzzling, I suppose, to some people. But what is the point? What is John trying to say here? Well, he is arguing, I guess that's a proper word, from the easier to that which is more difficult. Visible people are easier to love than an invisible God. That may be what he's saying. That certainly would fit the scripture, and that is one way of looking at it. Or he may be arguing from, and this is maybe a better way of understanding it, may be arguing from the intangible to the tangible. What do I mean by that? Well, people bear the image of the invisible God. Does the Bible teach that? It does. So we agree with that, don't we? God created man in his own image. And furthermore, Christians bear that image more clearly than unbelievers, because the image of God that is still present in all people, even after Adam's fall, the Bible tells us two or three times that men are still image bearers of God. But it is also true that the image is marred by sin, and so nobody images God as clearly today as Adam did in the garden before the fall. But that's part of what's involved in salvation. God is restoring the damaged image among his image bearers, and in whom is that damage being restored? In whom is that marred image being renewed and therefore is more visible and more manifested than in others? Well, obviously in Christians. And so the point is this. If a person claims to love God, but he doesn't love the people who best reflect the image of God, make God visible, in other words, then he cannot love God who is invisible. If we fail to perform duties that are clearly evident, how can we be performing duties that are out of sight? That's another way of looking at it. He's arguing from the more difficult to the easier to validate. People say, I love God. Well, a lot of what is involved in loving God is out of sight to the eyes of others. You say you love God. Do you read his word? Well, who knows? I don't know whether you do. You don't know whether I do. You say you love God. Do you spend any time with him in prayer? Well, I don't know. I don't see you praying, and you don't see me praying, except if you come to church and see me pray publicly in the pulpit, but you aren't with me during the day when I spend time with the Lord in prayer. You don't see these things, do you? Those things are more difficult to validate. Is it true that this person who says he loves God really loves God? Well, it's hard to tell in some areas, but in this area it's not hard to tell. If he doesn't love his brother, then how can he love the invisible God? You see, it's easy to deceive others in your claims about the invisible God, but it's harder to deceive others in regard to our visible brother. How you treat others in the body of Christ is visible for all to see. How you talk about others in the body of Christ is audible for all to hear. And so on the one hand, you are saying, I love God, may be hard to tell whether that's true or not, but it's not so hard to tell what your relationship is with other Christians. That's the real marker. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.